All right, let's reorient you to what we're doing, if we can. About a month ago, we started a series called Bringing Life to Our City. And we had a couple weeks of conversations that I think were pretty intense for us and pretty hopefully helpful to you. And then we took 2 weeks to focus on Easter and open streets. And so I'm going to kind of pull us back into this conversation and try and remind us of what we're doing. Because here's what it is. As a church, we desire to be the church the best way we know how. That's not necessarily our vision or dream statement, but it's a true statement about who we are as people. And we are talking about how we can help one another actually be that we can actually look at one another that are in this place and say, can we help one another be the church the best way we know how? That we don't treat this place and what we do is just another consumer environment, that we wouldn't classify the church as a time and place. Because in our culture, that is often what church is, isn't it? It's a time and place. It's in a building on Sunday at 10:30. That is church. And we are clinging to the notion that we don't go to church, but we are the church. We are just saying, can we really actually not just say those words, but learn what it means to live them and be them? And so this is a teaching series about a few things. It's about life. It's about your life. It's about my life. It's about life. It really is. It's about our everyday going and living. It's also about our city. And when I say our city, I mean not just Oklahoma City, but I mean your neighborhood. I mean our neighborhood as a church. I mean your workplace, the places you frequent and that you go. So this series is about, it's about our life. It's about the city. It's about Jesus, not necessarily in this order, but it's about Jesus and his mission in this world to see every man, woman, and child come to know him. And then it's also about the church. It's about us, and it's about what can we expect of one another, and what are we doing together? So those are some pretty big subjects: life, our city, Jesus, and the church. So let's keep pressing into this if we can. Acts 17, verse 22. This is a passage that reminds us that bringing life to our city is very much about understanding our culture. You know, often we feel, and maybe you can connect with this, often we feel, and maybe this is more Christians as a whole, and maybe the reputation that we have is that we feel like we have something to say so deeply that we will raise our voices to be heard. And instead of listening, all we really find ourselves doing is adding to the noise. Does that make sense, right? So Acts 17 is a story that I've taught on before. It's one of these core stories of Paul in Athens. And I'm just going to read it because he beautifully shows us how to listen to culture and then speak into it. This is starting in verse 22. So Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of this very thing you worship, and this is what I'm going to proclaim to you." So let me just give you a little bit of context really quick. Paul is in the cultural capital of the world, Athens. It was the cultural capital for centuries, as we all know. And he's in this city. He's never been there. He's a visitor. And he is getting familiar with the culture. He is walking around the city. He is trying to understand what the city is about. And he starts to see all these statues that are idols of worship. They worship these gods that are made into these statues, whatever gods they are. And then he comes across a statue that actually has an inscription to an unknown god. And the reason that statue was there was very simple. The Greeks were, they believed in many, many gods, right? And so they thought, we may have missed one. Let's make a statue to the one we maybe missed, to the unknown god. We don't even know you, but we worship you. And so Paul, he looks around, and what he finds in this culture is he finds a window for the gospel. He finds a window for the gospel to be portrayed. And when he stands up in this meeting, he says something very profound in the very beginning. And there's more context to this, but he actually comes in and he affirms them. He encourages them and says, I see you're very religious people. He doesn't come in with a bulldozer, does he? And say, listen, you guys are wrong. You need to get rid of all this stuff. He says, hey, I see that you're very religious. That's a great thing. I commend you. In fact, I see that you have something that you're a little maybe curious about. Perhaps I can shed some light into it. And so he speaks into a culture after first what? Listening to it. After first learning a little about it. And so this is kind of where we want to begin. This idea of speaking into a culture once you understand it, that you can actually find windows for the gospel to be seen. So we start there. Are y'all with me now? Yes? All right, here we go. So I want to start with a little idea that seems a little weird. We're going to throw it on the screen for you. We're going to talk about how God uses the city to save the church. Like I said, this seems a little odd because most would think it's the other way around, right? That the church is here to save the city. And so stay with me and you'll see where I'm coming from as we move forward. But I do need to do a little artwork today. People have been calling me lately the Michelangelo of ministry. Perhaps the Picasso of the pulpit. Right? Yes. If you haven't been with us, I got this toy about a month ago, and I've used it pretty much every week. Here we go. So I want us to imagine, we don't need to imagine because it's real. There's a timeline, a time continuum of sorts. And along this time continuum, there are certain things. We don't know really where time began or really when time will end because maybe God is infinite, right? So in this time continuum, though, there are some moments we can point to. We have creation, right? Forgive my handwriting. It's kind of hard to do with this thing. And then we maybe have another point in time that we can point to, which is now, right? So in between creation and now is kind of what we know, at least somewhat about history. We don't know really what happened before creation too much or what's going to happen after now, but we know some things. And along in this, we also have another moment that happens some point in here. We'll just call it the fall. And the fall of man is, of course, whenever Adam and Eve, of course, sin in the Bible. And in the scriptures, it says that everything then in creation had a ripple effect and all was broken. And it initiated something very big that we've talked about before. It initiated a kind of a thread throughout the rest of time. And this thread is really about this arc that keeps happening, and it's called the story of God. And so the story of God is the story of all things, isn't it? Everything that's happened from whenever time began to whenever time is going, it's all about the story of God because he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. So the story of God is happening, and since the fall, there's been this thread happening. And this thread, most of you, if you were with us, you might remember, is, we'll call it God's mission. God's been on a mission ever since the fall. And his mission is actually to redeem all things. Not just all people, but all things, all of creation. He wants to renew it. He wants to restore it. He wants to bring it back to his original design. And that's what he's up to. And he's actually been doing that. And the mission has been on the move. And a lot of things have happened. And people have come to know Christ. And of course, he sends Jesus. I'm not getting into the whole story of God, but he sends Jesus as his ultimate redemptive kind of trump card for all things. So inside of this, though, is there's this little bitty space that we'll just kind of do this with. And it looks kind of big, but it's not that big of a space because, you know, but this is your life. And it brings up some really curious questions. What are you doing with your life? That's a pretty good question. It brings up what is making your story? Because if this is the story of God up here, and then you have this little blip right here on the radar screen, this little blip on the time continuum, that's your story. How is it connected to the bigger story? And this isn't anything really like brand new for some of you, but sometimes we have to ask ourselves some pretty basic but profound questions about life. Like, what am I doing that really matters? Which is, of course, if you know me, is a core question for me. And it's one that I ask, meaning you only have one life to live. No one's responsible for it but you. So what are you doing with your life? And what are you going to do that is something that acknowledges that you only have one life to live? So you're not giving yourself to things that don't matter, but you are doing things that really truly matter. Because remember this, the danger of your life is not that you become bad people who don't care about things that matter. No, the danger is that you become a good person who doesn't actually do anything that matters. That's the danger of most of us in this room, that we will become great, good people, whatever you want to say, that don't actually do things that matter. So what do we do with this life? And how does every day of it, how does it connect? How does it connect to the story of God? How does your life connect to that? And I think a lot of us, we kind of feel like, well, it connects through the way I relate to God. There's a lot of things we could say. So you remember the statement that I said was a little weird? God uses the city to save the church. I want to show you a different image. You can switch back off of my beautiful drawing here. And let's think about our city. Our city is made up of different sectors, isn't it? So if you know much about culture, this is actually culturally kind of, this is what most experts, sociologists would say makes up culture. These are the sectors that really exist in any city or any culture that build the city, that build the culture. And so these are the major channels of influence or pillars of culture, what they've been called. And so there's other things that exist in the city besides these eight that you see on the screen here, which, as you can see, what they all are. We have government, media, education, business, the social sector, which would be like nonprofits or other organizations that would give into the social life of the city, arts and entertainment, family, and church. So these sectors have been called, like I said, the cultural pillars or the cultural channels of influence. And each of these sectors make them an important part of the city and building it. So here's an obvious thing, but extremely important. For those of us who go to church, and maybe you don't go to church, okay? Some of you are here, but you wouldn't say you go. Thanks for being here. You are not going. Because you are. So let's say you go to church. For those of us who go to church, we make up part of the city. We'll go ahead and highlight the church there for ourselves. So we highlight this thing, and the temptation for many in the church is to see the church as something separate from the city, to see it as an entity that would hope to infiltrate and love on the city. Like we're here and we're gonna go over there, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about, that there's this divide, so to speak, between the church and the city, and we see ourselves kind of even at times either looking for, really honestly and humbly looking for our cultural seat, or fighting for our cultural seat, meaning we feel like we've lost something, therefore we got to regain it. And so we feel this sort of church as not necessarily a part, integral part of the city, but something that's sort of peripheral or something that's sort of on the margins. Okay? Let me throw this at you though, and answer this question really quickly. How many of you, by raising your hand, would fit into one of these other sectors, one or more of these other sectors that you see in the city? Raise your hand. Come on, everybody raise your hand if you find yourself in any other sector other than church. Raise your hand, one more quiet, real high. Okay, so where is the church? So simple, isn't it? And so the church is sort of everywhere. The church in the city is actually us. And so here's the thing that I think we sometimes forget. We love to champion the term, and I say it all the time, that we are the church, but we also have to know this, that we are the city. And we are the city means that we have a responsibility to the city. We are the city. Everybody in this room makes up we make up the sectors of the cultural pillars of this city. And therefore, we have the position, if you will, to influence the building of the city. And because we are the city, there's some things that happen. The context of being the city actually shapes, listen, it actually shapes the way the gospel is lived and shared and grown. So remember, this series, and I'm about to, you know, I'm giving you a bunch of stuff here, then we'll kind of go to some story stuff. So stay with me for just a minute. Remember, this series is about conversations that are intended to help us understand how do we actually bring life to a city? How can it be more than just a statement that we go, yeah, that's cool that we bring life to a city by passing out lemonade? What does it really mean in our everyday life, though? What does it really mean? So what does it mean to be missional? This is about your life, all those sorts of things. So this is, I think, what happens is we have this understanding. I brought my backpack here. We have this understanding about the gospel. And this is what Christians do. Maybe not you, but this is what a lot of Christians do. And they think that they are doing this faithfully. It's not necessarily something they're doing intending to do anything bad or wrong. But this is what we do with, if you will, the mission of God, the story of God, is we see that the mission is something that we carry around more like we carry around in our backpack. And we pull it out occasionally whenever we feel like the moment presents itself. And so we carry it around and we are part of the city and we are part of life and we don't really let it be really too seen. But if somebody ever asks you, hey, what's with the backpack? You're like, oh, I have something to show you. Wait for this. And so we pull it out, so to speak, of the backpack. And we hold on to it, patiently waiting for an opportunity. Have you ever heard somebody say, and maybe you said, I'm just waiting for the opportunity for God to open a door, for God to let the gospel come bursting out. And so we wait patiently for God to do something so we can actually open the backpack and finally be missional. And so there's some things, as I describe it that way, that are very real, that are very much about how we live, but that are very hard to hear because we don't like to see ourselves in such a way. So I came across an article this week. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of the Babylon Bee. Anybody? Any Babylon Bee people? One. Here we go. The Babylon Bee is a satirical website. You can take that off for just a second. Let me set this up. It's a satirical website that makes up Christian news that poke fun at Christians. Now, it's Christians making fun of Christians, so it's totally okay. And it's satirical, so it's not real. It's not real news, but it's real. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my gosh, that's so real. So a couple of the headlines, just before I read you the one I came across this week, just to kind of whet your appetite for the Babylon Bee. Woman, here's a headline. Woman completes quiet time without Instagramming it. That's funny. Here's another one. Church visitor struggles through greeting. Sorry, I get that one. This is my favorite. You got to know a little bit about Christian music to get this one really good. But worship leader under investigation for not playing the song Oceans. Right? If you don't know that song, it's like the song of the decade or something like that. So I saw this article. You can put it up on the screen now. About how we hold on to the gospel and we patiently are waiting, right? Let me just read this. Columbus, Ohio, Stephanie Goodwill, great name. Stephanie Goodwill of Wish Financial Corporation, you get the humor in that, right? Announced on Wednesday that she's surprised that she hasn't had the opportunity to share her faith at work. I've worked at this company for 15 years, Goodwill revealed during a phone interview Thursday. I've gotten to know lots of people I work with. Take Joe. He's always talking about his marriage troubles. And Kathy, she talks a lot about how hard it is raising three kids on her own. I really think they need Jesus. I'm sure any day now they'll start asking me about him, right? It really shouldn't be that complicated, she continued. I mean, I smile at people as I pass them in the hall. I love that. I hold the doors open for people. I even have a good attitude on conference calls. I still don't understand why people don't ask me if Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I guess all I can do is keep praying and keep waiting, she added. I love it because I think sometimes this is real. Like, we're like, I'm holding the door open. I'm being kind. I'm really, really nice. But yet, there's something still missing. And maybe, perhaps, instead of showing the God card occasionally, we who are in Christ, right, who we must actually live the gospel in the way we neighbor, and the way we, and those we work with, and the way we study or drink coffee or whatever it is that we do. So by becoming a person who takes our story seriously, remember the drawing, our story, our life seriously enough to care about the things that we are aligning to the story of God and not to, I have to throw a sidebar in here to from out of nowhere, but not to the American dream. Because listen, this is what I really am thinking about when I think about our life. This is the questions, and this is what Christians really deal with day in and day out when they make the decisions. What is going to shape my decision making? Is it going to be the story of God, or is it going to be the American dream? And when I say the American dream, I'll just give you a few questions. Meaning, will we seek to live God's mission or seek to enjoy the comforts of this world? And I think oftentimes, if we're really true, that's a lot harder question than we want it to be. Will we give ourselves to loving others or simply loving ourselves? Will we give ourselves to submitting to God or only submitting to job demands? Will we care about things that matter or only care about things that we want to do? Earlier this week, I had a woman start texting me and calling me for some help. And I've known her for a couple of years. She has become a regular person that our church has assisted and helped in her life. She just walked in off of 23rd when we were down at the community house. And she lives on very little, and she has very little. And we actually met her because she would frequent the CSL Plasma place a lot and get her $40 a week to sell some plasma. And she's a single mom, has a couple kids, and doesn't have much in life. And a few weeks ago, she reached out to me and was asking for some help because she needed to move into a new place, and she needed some help with the deposit to some Section 8 housing. And I thought, well, you know, we haven't done that a lot, but sure, we'll help you. We've known you for a while. So we help her, and we give her the money to get into the apartment. And Monday, she starts texting me and sharing with me that she's needing some help moving her stuff. She moved from one house to this new place, and she needs some help moving. She has some furniture, some household things to get moved, and she shares with me she has no one who can help her, no one that she knows that has a car. And I'm thinking, well, I have two of those. And I remember the everyday question that I just said: will we care about the things that matter, or we only care about what we want to do? Because honestly, what I had a busy week in my mind. I was busy, like every night was something. And then I realized they were all things that I wanted to do, all things that I were committed to that I wanted to do. And this was something that really wasn't about me or about us. And so the idea of organizing a group of guys to go do this, this seemed at first sort of like something I didn't want to do. And anyway, I sort of finally realized some things. I realized that I needed to step into this, but more importantly, we needed to step into this. And so a group of seven or eight of us went over and helped her move on Wednesday night. And you're thinking, well, okay, well, you're just telling your stories about yourself. No, no, no. The story is not about patting ourselves on the back. In fact, to me, the story did quite the opposite. It made me realize how few times I/we step into real need. We kind of wait patiently for things to be brought to us, and they rarely, very rarely come. We don't on display the gospel. It's more carried around with us, hoping that someone will do something. And it displayed to me some things that the story should do for us. It should awaken us, if you will, awaken us from the slumber of the American way. Because you realize in times like those that your life is not just about you, it's about the endless possibilities. Listen, it's about the endless possibilities that the gospel provides in a city. And this is where we're getting to this idea that the city can save the church because it actually provides the missional purpose that we all need. And if you catch this, the city informs us how to bring life to it, doesn't it? By the things we cross paths with every day. The city gives us the invitation to bring life. The city is the landscape that's speaking to us if we would only listen to what's going on around us to see what's possible. There are windows for the gospel all over the place. But sometimes we just ignore them. And see, the city and our culture, it even informs us, if we listen, of the questions they have about God and the questions they have about the church. And sometimes those questions are very complicated questions, aren't they? And we dumb them down with simple, trite answers, and that's not right. We have to be willing to enter into complicated conversations about faith and God and be willing to illuminate a window of the gospel. We can't oversimplify things. The culture is asking for answers, and we're not answering them. Our context, our culture, even the cultural sector that we are in, whatever sector you're in, it informs us of what we can do. We have a teacher in our church who looked around at her context, her sector of education, and her role, if you will, in it all, and she got a vision. She saw kids in need sitting in classrooms with worn-out shoes and clothes that were falling apart, sitting next to kids who had more than enough. She thought something can be done, love can be shown, help can be given. And see, here's the thing. Sometimes we think that the story of God is all about evangelizing on some street corner. And I'm just telling you, it's not always about that. It's not always about being the weird Christian. The best form of living the gospel is love and action and bringing the kingdom of God in tangible, real ways through the way we live. And so Alicia started a Facebook page for her friends and people that she knew, not just in the school, but even outside of the school, to start hearing about needs in the school. So she'll simply post, hey, we need a size 7 boys' shoe, or we need some uniform shorts and a size 8 for a girl. And you know what? People see this and they go, I can step into that. I can help there. I can give a little bit of love there. See, that is kingdom. That is gospel. And when I say that, the mission of God is on the move in this city, and it will be carried by those who take their role in the city and the responsibility for it as participants of building something together, because we are the city just as much as we are the church. And we are the city, and we're building a city. And I think oftentimes when it comes to building the church, we're all about that, but we think that building the church means that we're going to build better programs or better ministries. And I have no issue with program and ministries. I love them. But if we think that's the role of what it means to build the church, to have amazing ministries and to have melt your face off worship nights and to have phenomenal serving events, all those things are great. But listen, those philosophies of building a church, meaning bigger and better facilities or events or spectacular things that we do, they actually become about building something for ourselves, don't they? It becomes an internally focused kind of mission that's about feeding our own desire for success and comfort versus stepping into things. So if you ever wonder why we don't do a lot of stuff, there is a reason behind it. It is creating space for you to pay attention to your own world and not just to the own little kingdom that we're building right here. We aren't building a kingdom that's called OKC Community Church. We want to build a church of people who desire to be the church the best way we know how, and that go and build a city better for the with the gospel running through it, right? That's the story of God alive in our city by the people of God owning the mission and saying, my story is not my story. My story is God's story, and what God wants to do in the city, I'm all about that. That's what it's about. So the city saves the church, right? There are other stories in this room. I heard a story about two women walking into a store on 23rd Street just this last week and simply being kind and genuine with one of the employees there, and the conversation turned into an hour-long conversation of talking about that person's story, talking about their pain, talking about God, talking about their journey in life. And listen, those sorts of things don't happen. Those sorts of moments don't happen when you're not fully ready and fully present for the gospel window to be illuminated, when the windows of the gospel are there and you step into them, guess what? Things happen that are not normal and that you didn't expect. And we start building a better city and building a better life, not only for ourselves, but for those that we are around. I want to show you a thought, and I'm about done. It's on screen. The city needs you to unleash your God-given ability to dream about the people and places you intersect every day. The city needs you to unleash your God-given ability to dream about the people and places you intersect every day. To dream about creating good and serving those people, to loving those people better. Because listen, here's what I really truly believe is that you can be the most loving person in your neighborhood. I really believe that. You can be the most forgiving, grace-filled person in your family. You can actually be someone that's one of the kindest, most helpful, most supportive people if you have children in your child's school. You can step into that. And it's not always about just plastering, you know, that I'm a Christian on top of that, but it's also not keeping them hidden in our backpack. It's saying, I'm going to do all things that I can, and I'm going to step into things that truly matter in this world, and I'm also going to let people know in some ways by creatively, by listening to our culture, by finding the windows for the gospel to say Jesus is what's changed my life and he's what's changing the world. When your dreams and your imagination, I want you to really hear this. When your dreams and your imagination are limited to your personal gain and your personal life, you are using this world and this city for yourself. Many people love to use the city. They enjoy the city. They enjoy the life of the city. But when we use it and we only dream in our life about our own self, it's all about us. This is not intended to be a message that necessarily beats us up about how we care for others. It's actually not. I want it to awaken us to things. I want it to give us new lenses and new eyes to see the world and to see our city and to see who God's called us to be. So this message says, will you make your life your life? Or will you make it about something else? Will the little blip on the time continuum of all time, will it be about something that's just about your story? Will it be connected to God's story? And will it do something that really matters for the kingdom, really matters for eternity? What are you going to do about it? Because as long as we make our life about our life, we're missing out on life. Oh, I love when those little words work together. As long as we make our life about our life, you will be missing out on life. And that's just the truth. That's all throughout the story of the gospel. That's all throughout the story of all time and people and what they give their life to. So we are talking a little bit about paradigm shifts that maybe aren't rocking, you know, your foundations yet. And maybe you're already there. But paradigm shifts that are supposed to sit in us in profound ways. Things that are not about inherited theologies. I introduced that term a few weeks ago. I don't know if you remember it, but we come into churches with a lot of church baggage. Everybody's got like 6 full Samsonites with them. You know what I'm saying? We do. We come into church with church baggage, and it's okay. It's about what we've experienced. It's our past. It's the things we think about church, the things we think about God, the things we think about Christians, and we all carry it. And you know what? We come into a church and we try and build a church together, but we all have these inherited theologies that sort of mix up the bag of what are we supposed to be doing together. You know what? Some of that's good and some of that's bad. And I don't have a problem with church baggage. I have plenty of it. But what I'm saying is, could there be a shift in which we say, you know what? We want to return to the biblical roots of what it means to be a church that cares about people in such a way that we're going to love the world just as much as we love God, not just love God, but love our neighbors. And it's actually gonna transcend the way we live. So if you wanna bring life to a city, your life has to be transformed. into a new way of thinking about church and a new way of thinking about God and a new way of thinking about all time. It's about understanding that you're a part of a larger story, about changing a world for the better of the world's sake and for the better of the kingdom. Because if we don't believe in building a better city, we don't believe in really truly bringing the gospel into it. We need to partner together to say we're going to build a better city, because that's what the gospel calls us to. Because the gospel is always better. So, make the world better by doing things that matter. And along the way, have the courage to share how Jesus is changing you and changing the world. Two questions as we end. What is God saying to you? And what are you going to do about it? You see, whatever notes you may or may not have taken, or whatever mental things you have, that's all fine and good. But what I really want you to wrestle with is, what do you feel God's Spirit speaking into your heart and your mind? And I want you to just respond to it, not ignore it. This isn't information. This is, I hope, to be at times revelation for you. Revelation from the Lord that He's giving you about your own life and your own story and the person that you're supposed to become. Are you with me? Yes. Let's pray together. Oh God, I pray that even as we sit in a few moments and we just even think on these questions, I pray that, Lord, you would speak to our souls. I'm going to give you just a minute. Even as I'm praying, I'm going to give you just a minute to think on this question. What is God saying to you? Maybe just bow your heads, close your eyes, and say, God, I just want to pray that right now. What are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? Will you ask God that? Go ahead. Take a minute. God, in your power and in your love, you can speak to so many of us at one moment. It blows our mind. We don't understand it. But Father, you love each and every one of us. You say you know each and every one of us. You know us intimately. You created us. You knit us together. And Father, we want to accept that we truly are sons and daughters of you. And so, Father, I pray that, Lord, when you speak, we would listen. And then, Lord, we would do something about it. And so I pray for each and every one of us to have these moments with you in ways that are profound and transformational to us. And so I pray for each and every person, wherever they're at right now, Lord, speak to their heart, give them ears to hear. We pray for our city, we pray for our neighborhoods, we pray for this community that this church building is located in. Lord, we don't know what it is, all the things that you want us to do, but Lord, we just pray. We just pray for these windows to arrive and to illuminate, and that, God, we would step right up to them, just like Paul did in Athens, when there's opportunities, when we listen to our culture to elevate you. So, God, we pray for that. Lord, I pray now that as we close this time with song, and just singing one more song to you, Father, that it would be a song that just resonates within us, that you are with us, that you're with us every step of the way. We thank you for that. And before I have you stand and sing, just listen for a second. This morning, maybe you need prayer, and it has nothing to do with what we talked about. Maybe it does. If something, God's speaking to you, and you want to talk to somebody, pray with somebody, go to our prayer team, do that today. But today you may also have things that are going on in your life that you're like, it's heavy. It's something that's really dragging on me. And you need somebody to join with you in prayer, whether that be a health issue and just something going on in life that's tough, or it's the need you have. Let this time minister to your heart. Let the people of God come around you in prayer. So we're going to stand, and I want to encourage you to come and to receive prayer today. Father, we give this all to you, and we proclaim you as king today. In your name we pray. Amen.